You guys ready for your first communion? Yes? You guys look ready. So, yeah, it's been a long time of preparation. I know, you guys have been studying about your first communion for a while, and you've seen your older brothers and sisters receive communion, and your parents, and now it's your chance for the first time to receive Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. So it's definitely a time of great joy for us today. In our first reading today, we hear about Peter, and he's out preaching about Jesus. And he uses an interesting phrase, and this is the only time in the entire Bible that this phrase is used. He calls Jesus the author of life. The author of life. So what's an author? Yeah, Fee? Yeah, someone who writes books. You know, an author comes up with a story and they weave it together and they develop characters and you know, they put a story together and they come up with, you know, a book or a story. Yeah, that's what an author does. Well, Jesus is the author of life, which means he came up with us. Like in his mind, he decided, I want to create someone that looks just like this. And he created each one of us. Every detail about us, from the number of hairs on our head. Have you guys ever tried to count the number of hairs on someone's head?
No.
You think it would take a while?
No.
No, you think it'd be pretty quick? Yeah, so he knows every hair on our head, how many eyelashes we have. He designed the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, every detail from head to toe he came up with. And your personalities too. You know, some people are more shy. Some people are very outgoing. You know, some people are really athletic. Others are a little more clumsy. You know, some people can sing like an angel. Some people sounds more like singing like a frog, depending on the person. But, you know, each one of us has our own unique gifts and our own unique personalities. And he's our author. He's the one who came up with us and brought us into existence. He made us that way. Every detail about us. And he not only is the author of us, he's the author of your families, your parents. He made your mom and your dad and your brothers and sisters. He's the author of all of that. And actually the whole world. You know, if you look out at the mountains or see, you know, beautiful sunset, he's the one who created that. So he's the author of life. Everything that we know, everything that we are, he's the one who came up with it. It's pretty incredible to think about how creative God's mind is, that he would be able to do that, and just how powerful he is, and how good he is that he'd create us. So here's a question for you guys. If you had the chance to speak to Jesus face to face, the author of life, the one who created you, if you had a chance to have a conversation with him, what would you say to him? Maybe you'd have a question to ask him, or what would you have to say to him? The person who brought you into existence, if you had a chance to talk to God, to Jesus Christ, what would you say to him? What do you think? Any thoughts come to mind? Yeah, we'll give someone else a chance here. Okay, you'd say, thank you for dying on the cross for us. Yeah, that'd be a pretty important thing to thank him for. Yeah. You'd say that you love him. That's a pretty good response right there. Say, Jesus, I love you. Akira? Thank you for taking away our sins. Yeah, so definitely to thank him for what he's done, dying on the cross so he could take away our sins, to tell him that we love him. You know, sometimes people might have to say they're sorry to him, like the apostles. You know, they denied Jesus and they ran away from him. They might need to say that they're sorry. And maybe just to say to God how incredible he is. Like, you're amazing, you're incredible for you know, your generosity for creating us and everything. Yes, that'd be pretty interesting to have a conversation face-to-face with Jesus. In our gospel today, the apostles get that chance. They see Jesus after he died on the cross and then rose from the dead. He appeared right in the middle of their room. He didn't come through the door, just boom, right in the middle. There he is, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And they're a little shocked because they don't believe that he's risen from the dead. They think he's a ghost. They think he's back to haunt them. And they're a little terrified, understandably. But he has to say to them, no, I'm not a ghost. I'm a real person. Touch my hands. Here's the wound where the nails went through. And they're probably just staring at him. And he's like, okay, give me some food to eat. You know, I'll show you that I can eat food. And so he eats fish in front of them so that they can believe that he's actually risen from the dead. And so they had to overcome their doubts. But finally, they recognize that he's risen and they have a chance to see him face to face. Something very similar is going to happen right here in this church. Something incredible is going to happen. Just like Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, just appeared right in the middle of the room. He didn't come through the door, just boom, there he was. At Mass, when the priest says the words of consecration, when he says, "This is my body, and this is the chalice of my blood," Jesus is going to descend all the way from heaven, and boom, he's going to be present on the altar, the risen Lord, and we'll have a chance to talk to him. Pretty incredible. He's still going to look like bread and wine. He's going to hide his appearance, but he's really there, just as real as he was when he appeared to the apostles in the upper room. And so that's pretty amazing. And so, first, what we have to do is we have to believe that. We have to make the act of faith. Just like the apostles doubted that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, they're like, wait, are you a ghost? A lot of people doubt the Eucharist. They say, well, maybe it's still just bread and wine. We have to make the act of faith and say, no, this really is Jesus. And we can visualize that it's like he's up there sitting on a throne and we can come before him. So first, we have to make the act of faith. And second, I encourage you to talk to him. Sometimes, you might not believe this, but people say they don't come to Mass because Mass is boring. Sometimes they even say that to me as a priest. Can you believe that? That's gutsy. They know they're going to get lectured. But they'll say the Mass is boring because they don't understand that it's not just a ritual, that Jesus Christ, the author of life, the most incredible being in the entire universe, is right here, and we get a chance to talk to him. It's absolutely incredible. And so I encourage you, first, to recognize that Jesus Christ is there and to make that act of faith. And second, to don't just sit in the pews and zone out, but to actually talk to Jesus. Tell him how much you're thankful for him, that he created you and your families, and that he died on the cross for you to take your sins away. And tell him how much that you love him. Because he certainly loves us to the point where he's willing to come down from heaven to be with us on the altar. And so tell him how much you love him too. So talk to him when you're at Mass. Don't just sit in the pews and zone out, but actually talk to him. And the other thing I'd challenge you to do is in the second reading, we hear that if we love Jesus, we'll follow his commandments. One of those commandments is to keep holy the Lord's Day. And that means we should come to Mass every Sunday. Or Saturday evening counts for Sunday. But Jesus comes all the way down from heaven to be with us because he loves us so much. On our part, it's important for us to come to Mass each Sunday to spend time with Jesus and to tell him we love him in return and not to leave him standing here and not show up. So I challenge you and your families first to make the act of faith that the Eucharist is truly the risen Lord, and don't just sit in the pews, but talk to him. Thank him. Tell him how much you love him. And let him tell you how much he loves you. And third, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Come here every Sunday. Our Lord's waiting for you to be here. And on our part, we want to make sure that nothing gets in the way of us coming here each Sunday so we can spend time with our Lord. And so this is a great day that you can receive Jesus for the first time. And so we congratulate you and we're excited for you. And I know that we're praying for you as you prepare for your first communion.